Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Williams wants to fade. Stoops in the end zone for a touchdown, Oklahoma. The Stoops you hear from the crowd could be for father or son.
I think it's definitely for son after that catch.
What's up, Sooner Nation? You know what time it is. It is podcast time. Like, we're a day delayed already in getting this out to you guys. And so I want to apologize for that. But, you know, sometimes life and jobs and real world stuff gets in the way. But here we are. OU basketball recap coming up. We got some football recruiting notes. Big weekend, actually, for Oklahoma this coming weekend right now in Norman. And then always true or false questions featuring you guys, our listeners, and we want to say thanks so much in advance to those of you who participated in that. Again, you can always shout out to the Sooner Nation podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at Sports Heartland on Twitter. That's the best way. Or you can hit our Facebook page, Heartland Sports on Facebook. And we try to put out there when we're going to be collecting true or false questions for the podcast. And that is your opportunity to have your say, have your question, have your statement read on the show. And then we'll tell you if we agree or disagree and the reasons behind it. Let's start with Oklahoma basketball, though. Sooners dropped to 12-6. It's three losses in a row now. And things don't look good right now for Oklahoma basketball. And I'm not going to jump in here and say the Porter Moser era is in jeopardy, because it's absolutely not. If you've been around this program, if you've been to the games, if you've been to the if you see, even watched them on TV, you see the intensity, you see the level of passion that these guys play with. They're just running through a brutal stretch of the schedule. You have the narrow loss in Waco to what was at the time the number one team in the nation. You have a loss at home to Kansas. And things don't really get better, because up next, Saturday, probably the day of or the day after you listen to this podcast, you've got Baylor Bears coming into Norman. And then you're on the road twice, at West Virginia and at Auburn, who just so happens to be the number two team in the country at the moment, before coming home to play TCU and then on the road in Stillwater for the first round of Bedlam. So if you're keeping track, what that means is after Baylor, three of your next four games are on the road. And you know what we've talked about? What we've always said when it comes to basketball is that when you got to protect the home court. Absolutely have to protect the home court. And when you drop games at home, that means you got to pick one up on the road. We talked about that's why the TCU loss, the overtime loss in Fort Worth, was such a big, big deal, because of this schedule coming up at home with Kansas and Baylor back-to-back. Losing the game to the Jayhawks on Tuesday night puts this team now in a position where they absolutely have to pick up a game on the road. West Virginia is your first opportunity to do that. You know, Auburn doesn't count. You're number two team in the country, obviously that would be a huge win for this program, but that's not going to count as far as conference play. You know, Captain Obvious statement there. So you got to get games back in conference. So that means you got to win against Baylor. Right now, if you win against Baylor, you only got to pick up one on the road. But you drop against Baylor, which would not only be their fourth loss in a row, would not only drop them to 12-7 on the season, it means you got to pick up two on the road. And your first two opportunities to do that would be at West Virginia and at Stillwater against Oklahoma State. Neither of those are going to be ideal situations in which you're going to be able to pick up wins. Not saying that they can't do it. I think that they could actually go out and upset Baylor. I think that could happen on Saturday with the intensity and the passion that this team plays with. And they're a talented team that's still trying to find their stride. I saw somebody say on social media that maybe they peaked too early. No, they didn't. I don't think that's a situation. I think they had a favorable schedule early. Now you're going through what is the worst part of your schedule right now. And mark my words, here's what's going to happen. Regardless of the outcome of this Baylor game on Saturday, Oklahoma is going to finish this season strong. They're going to finish playing very, very well. They're going to finish with a winning streak or something where they win like 4 out of 5 or something along those lines. And it's because of two things. Number one, because they're getting better as the season goes on. And number two, the schedule's favorable. The schedule was favorable at the front of the season. The schedule's not so favorable right now in the middle as conference play gets underway. And then the schedule will swing back around to being favorable one more time as the season winds down. But Porter Mosier's team sitting at 12-6 right now, I don't think we're to the point yet where we can start talking about tournament and seeding and bubble and all that stuff. They're just not ready for that yet. Now, next month, when you turn the calendar to February, then that stuff starts to come into play just a little bit. But at this point, you just got to go out and win. And unfortunately, like I said, it's a bad stretch and things don't look positive because you play Kansas, you play Baylor back-to-back, and you need to take to the road for 3 out of 4 games with one of them being a huge rivalry game and the other one, oh yeah, the number 2 team in the country.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The biggest story right now concerning Oklahoma athletics is recruiting, and it's a huge, huge weekend going on right now for the Sooners. You know, we're still waiting on transfer portal news, and you know how this works as far as podcasting goes. You drop a podcast, and then like that night or the next morning, some breaking news happens and occurs somewhere along the way, which means here's what's going to happen. I'm going to produce this podcast. It's going to go out on Friday evening. I know, we already said we're a day late, but it's going to go out on Friday evening. And then at some point before we record again on Sunday, Caleb Williams, Jackson Dart, that whole crew, they're going to make their announcements and make a lot of what we would have said about the transfer portal null and void. So we're going to skip the transfer portal portion of this podcast just because there's nothing new. Until those announcements start rolling through, there's absolutely nothing new to update on that front. However, when you look at what Oklahoma is doing right now as far as the 2022 recruiting class, there's a huge push going on this weekend to try to wrap that class up and wrap it up in a way that would allow them to finish strong. The Sooners currently ranked number 10 nationally by 24/7 Sports in the 2022 recruiting class, and then they have the number 2 class in the Big 12 coming in right behind Texas. But you look at what the big recruiting weekend going on in Norman, and there's really two names that could make a major boost in those recruiting class rankings and help Oklahoma finish 2022 the 2022 class on a strong note. And I think you start with Gentry Williams, the number one player in the state of Oklahoma. If you look at the entire 2022 recruiting class, he's the number 16 player in the class out of Tulsa, Booker T. Washington. And he's already had his official visit to the University of Oklahoma. He did that under the Lincoln Riley coaching regime in Alex Grinch and so forth. They had him come in. But because there is a coaching change, he was able to get another official visit. So this is actually the second official visit that Ginger Williams has had to Norman for the University of Oklahoma. And that bodes well for two reasons. Number one, he's been pretty quiet. He just basically said, I'm not going to commit. I'm not going to sign during the early signing period. I'm going to wait until February. I'm going to fill this thing out. I'm going to have more conversations with Brent Venables and so forth. And I want to know that I feel for sure what I'm doing is right. That said, you haven't heard a lot about Gentry Williams taking in other visits and talking to other coaches. I'm sure he's done that, to an extent, but when you compare that to guys in the transfer portal like a Caleb Williams, like a Mario Williams, like a Latrell McCutcheon, those type of guys who are out there just really kind of checking out where they're going to go next, Ginger Williams has been really quiet on that front. He remains committed to the University of Oklahoma for this 2022 class. And the truth is, Oklahoma needs him. You got to get the number one player in the state. And it starts, your recruiting in the home state starts with Ginger Williams. Sooners missed out on the number one player in the 2021 class. They did get Ethan Downs. And, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, we have said this repeatedly, that Ethan Downs was the number one player in the state of Oklahoma when at the time of his commitment, but then by the time the final rankings shook out, he was number two. And so this, it makes it even more of a priority to get Ginger Williams. And I don't know that there's been anything there outside of just his willingness to pause, drink it all in, so to speak, have a conversation with the coaches, survey the field, so to speak, with his 19 scholarship offers and see where he fits in. None of that is a reason for concern. All of that is absolutely acceptable and reasonable when the kid's making his decision in regards to where he's going to spend the next 3 to 5 years of his life. And so I think if you're an Oklahoma fan, you feel confident about Ginger Williams from the standpoint that he's never decommitted from this class, that he did say he wanted to have these conversations with Brent Venables, and that he is making yet another official visit to the University of Oklahoma this weekend. And I don't think it's something where you're going to see a commitment from him, because he's already committed. What you may see coming out of the weekend or sometime between now and early February, you're going to see an affirmation of his commitment to the University of Oklahoma. Now he gets into I'm gonna put Ginger Williams in the category of, this is what Oklahoma has. He's currently the only player on this 2022 class who's committed and not signed. Now, we've talked about Jaron Kanek, who quote unquote is not signed with a national letter of intent, but he is, because he's already on campus. He's enrolled for the spring semester. He's going to be there. So Ginger Williams does remain the wild card, a guy who's committed but yet not really there just yet as far as landing and sealing the deal on him. But there's another guy on campus who could help make a huge momentum swing for this class, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, and that's 3-star defensive lineman Ahmad Moten out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, this is a kid who's got 24 scholarship offers, 6'3", 290 pounds. Oklahoma's competing with the likes of Iowa State, Miami, North Carolina, and Tennessee to get him. And he's important for two reasons. Number one, because of what he can do on the interior of a defensive line. He's a recruit that kind of was a late bloomer in terms of just seeing his recruiting take off. But he's a guy that, like I said, 24 scholarship offers. There's a lot of people out there who are taking notice of him late. He was a lean towards Iowa State, never really committed to the Cyclones. But now he's in Norman, and this would be a really big deal for the University of Oklahoma in terms of having that guy for this class that could really be the kind of the clog player in the middle of the defensive line. And so you want him for that reason. You want him for the purposes of the fact that he's going to fit into your scheme, fit into what you want, and be a key player in that on the defensive front. But you want him for a second reason, because his buddy is R. Mason Thomas. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, he's a guy that has been rumored to be in, I don't know how to say this, he's committed to Iowa State right now, but the rumors have been swirling for a while now that he would be flipping his commitment from the Cyclones to the Sooners. And Moten and R. Mason Thomas kind of want to be a package deal. They kind of want to go play ball together somewhere. And so you get the feeling either these two guys are going to play together in Ames, Iowa, or they're going to play together in Norman, Oklahoma. And what happens this weekend probably plays a huge, huge deal in deciding where that location is going to be. R. Mason Thomas is the number, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, teammate of Ahmad Moten. He's the number 25 player from the state of Florida and the number 18 edge rusher. Said he's committed to Iowa State. He's got 23 scholarship offers on the table right now. And you know, it's crunch time. It's crunch time in terms of wrapping up this 2022 recruiting class from a prep perspective. Yeah, you're still going to have transfer portal stuff that's going to take place throughout the spring into the summer, because some of these guys can do classes online and make a commitment and join in wherever they're going to land in the summer workouts. Some of these guys can do you know, instead of doing their semester, some universities, instead of doing a semester in like, you know, in 16 weeks, they do 8-week segments. So you can miss the first 8 weeks, jump in on the second 8 weeks and participate in spring ball. So all that said, the transfer portal part of recruiting is not going to wrap up by February 2nd, like the prep portion of recruiting is going to wrap up. And I think you're still, if you're an Oklahoma fan, you're still watching obviously what Caleb Williams does, even though it appears that he's completely out the door now for the Sooners. But there's going to be a domino effect from that that's going to go down to Jackson Dart and so forth. And so you're still going to follow that storyline if you're a fan of Oklahoma football and you want to follow the recruiting guidelines. The recruiting guidelines? You're going to follow the recruiting storylines. I think that's the word I was looking for. So that story's not going away anytime soon. Like I said, transfer. You got guys who were just now this week entering into the transfer portal. You got guys from Georgia and so forth who are just now jumping in. So there's no way all that's going to be wrapped up in time for the spring semester at various universities, but it is going to eventually resolve itself before the summer comes along. So that storyline, while it will continue, the prep recruiting storyline for the 2022 class is going to go for about 2 more weeks, and then that's going to be over. So that's why this weekend is a huge deal for the University of Oklahoma as they host these guys in hopes to land them as a part of that 2022 class. All right, we got your true or false questions coming up next. This is the Sooner Nation Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Okay, here we go. The part of the podcast that is quickly becoming my favorite segment, in which we listen to you. And you got your statements, whether they're true or false, and we tell you our response to that and the reason why. Again, just a quick reminder, you can hit us up on Twitter, at Sports Heartland on Twitter. You can hit us up with your true or false statements, ask us questions throughout the week, and we'll do our best to get back with you in response to those. Now, that said, this first one comes from a guy named Nick, who is pretty active with us on Twitter. And due to my travel schedule, I totally missed a question he asked me a week or so ago. And so I took it and I threw it in there as a true or false question. I rewrote it for you, Nick, and hopefully this gets to you. And I apologize for the delay in responding. But basically, here's the gist of what Nick is getting at. Coach Jay, Oklahoma's new cornerback coach, he's the reason why Latrell McCutchen left Oklahoma and ultimately for USC. Now, at the time, to let you know how long this question has been sitting there, at the time, McCutchen was in the portal when this question was presented to us, and now, now he's at USC. I think this is always going to happen. Here's the response to the question. I think it was always going to happen. I don't think McCutchen was happy in Norman. I know some of that which is ironic, because some of that had to do with the schematics and the depth chart that was ahead of Latrell McCutchen. And here's how this makes sense. you don't have to work real hard to scroll through Twitter and find out about his family and their disenfranchisement, if you will, with Oklahoma and the situation that he was in Norman last season. That said, it's really easy to connect the dots as why he would follow a coaching staff that they were critical of to Southern California. And what it comes down to is the number of bodies that are ahead of him. The path to the field is way more, the only word that comes to mind is soft, and maybe that's the right word, less cluttered. The line is shorter, if you get what I'm saying. He's not going to have to work as hard to find the field in Southern California as he would in Norman, Oklahoma. So part of the problem, in my opinion, with Latrell McCutchen is part of the problem is seeing guys, young guys, like Ethan Downs, get on the field consistently and be contributors consistently. Danny Stutzman is another guy that Latrell McCutchen came in with on this class. And those guys get in there and they make the plays. They earn the right to get on the field and then they prove their merit by making those plays. Latrell McCutchen didn't have that type of success, and he clearly thought he's better than what he actually was. I'm not saying the future's not bright for him. I'm not saying he can't go out and be a contributor for the Trojans in Alex Grinch out west. What I am saying is for his freshman year, he wasn't on par with the other freshmen who made the field. And I think he took that personally. And then he kind of took it personally that he was leaving. But when you look at the things that are said social media wise, you got to understand that most of those things are amplified even louder in small groups, whether you're talking about a defensive room or whether you're talking about a defensive backs room. There were chemistry issues with Latrell McCutchen and the members of this defense, things that he didn't vibe with. And you look at guys like Nick Benito, who's no longer on this team. Nick Benito's working on launching his NFL career, but you know, without saying the name Latrell McCutchen, Nick Benito calls him out on Twitter, on social media, and that lets you know that things weren't happy. It was not a happy marriage with Latrell McCutchen and his teammates. And I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think you're going to find anybody out there who said, yep, that's true, and here's how I know that's true, as far as giving you actual real-life stories and you know, quote, evidence to back it up. You just got to read between the lines here. And I don't think it's incredibly difficult to come to the assumption of that's exactly what it is. So was Coach Jay, the hiring of Coach Jay, was he the reason why McCutchen left? Maybe because Coach Jay is going to say, I'm going to put the best guys on the field. Also, they were actively going after guys in the portal. And so the potential there was that where McCutchen had to kind of dig himself out from the depth chart, he would have a deeper dig had he stuck around in Norman with a new coach who made no promises to anybody on campus, who also is going to give everyone a fair shake and take the best two guys or maybe the best three guys in a rotation and put them on the field. So if you're looking at it from that perspective, then yeah, it's absolutely true that the hiring of Coach Jay is what's going to push McCutchen completely out the door. But all that said, the signs were there that this kid wasn't going to be around in Norman. Now, just chemistry-wise, it wasn't working. And so I don't know that I just don't know that you give Coach Jay full credit for this. And by the way, there is some criticism there of the hire. And I mean, the guy, he's coached in the collegiate ranks. He's coached in the professional ranks. He came from Alabama. You know, you don't make it to Alabama if you don't know what you're doing. And I don't think Brent Venables to this point has given anybody a reason to have doubt. I mean, obviously he hasn't coached his first game at the University of Oklahoma yet. But, I mean, this is a guy who salvaged, with the help of Bob Stoops, granted, salvage this 2022 recruiting class, so much so that they're going into the spring with a wave of momentum recruiting, and really he's kind of brought the locker room back together in terms of chemistry and family and all that stuff, playing for your brother. I don't know that we're on board yet. So how about we coach a game, or better yet, how about we coach a season before we start really kind of laying out our thoughts on whether a hire of a assistant coach was a good or a bad hire. That's just my two cents on that. We're gonna move on to the next one. Comes from Craig. True or false, Porter Mosier is already changing the basketball culture in Norman. Okay, I'll bite. Changing it from what? I mean, how? First of all, let me preface this by saying I'm a Porter Mosier fan, okay? I think it was a good hire. I think it was the best possible hire for this university in the current situation they were in which he had to completely rebuild this roster. And Mosier is the kind of guy who's got the clout, he's got the track record to reach out to people, and they're going to listen from the transfer portal. And that's why you've got guys like Tanner and Jacob Groves. That's why you got Jordan Goldwire. That's what you got. Why you got Ethan Chagwall. I mean, that's why you got these guys here. But when you talk about changing the culture, change it from what? Because Lincoln Riley. I brain fart there, right? Lon Kruger, are we forgetting he took this team to the Final Four? Are we forgetting that they were a perennial tournament team? Are we forgetting that they competed in the upper half of the Big 12? So I just don't understand, what are we changing? What is the culture? Because if you're saying he's changing it from if the perspective is he's changing it from a losing to a winning culture, I don't feel like that applies. Because they already were a winning culture. Is he changing it from a hustle culture, or from a non-hustle culture to a hustle culture? Again, already applies. I think one area where you really look at what Porter Mosier's done in Norman in a short time is he's won over the students. So maybe that's where we're going to go with this, is that Porter Mosier has absolutely won over the students. Go back to that Kansas game on Tuesday night. The student section opens up early. The kids come in. They fill in those seats. And who's bringing pizza to the kids? It's Porter Mosier. So maybe in changing the culture of the atmosphere around the team, yeah, I can buy that. I can get in on that. I can buy that. But as far as changing the culture of the way this team plays, I think Porter Mosier has a great foundation that Lon Kruger had left for him that he's building on. And so I think in a way, he's an extension of the Lon Kruger legacy. He's an extension of the Lon Kruger ethic. He's an extension of what Lon Kruger did. Now, you want to know a guy who really had to change the culture? That's Lon Kruger. This basketball program was in the dumps. It was a burning dumpster fire when Lon Kruger came to Norman. And now Porter Mosier is a benefactor of what Lon Kruger did. That was changing culture. So as far as the actual play of this team and their place in the pecking order of the Big 12, I don't think much has changed from the last year of Lon Kruger to year one of Porter Mosier. But in the way that the students and the fans embrace this team, yeah, I think he has brought some new things there, and I think he's maybe a step ahead of where Lon Kruger finished off. So that was a difficult answer to really a difficult question, but I think we danced around it pretty well. Now let's move on. Good. We get to talk about softball now. True or false, Oklahoma softball will repeat in 2022. I don't see how you can't say it's not true. Now, I will say this. When you get to know me, obviously my favorite sport is football. just about every single podcast, I'm going to find a way to talk football because, as I've always said, football is king in Oklahoma. And when you're talking about running a website and doing a podcast, football pays the bills. But also, I'm a huge fan. I played football. I coached football. I love football. I don't care who's playing on TV. I'll watch a game. All that said, softball is probably my second favorite. And I got into this through the journalistic method. I went, I got assigned, I got to go and cover this team, Oklahoma, through a super regional into the Women's College World Series, and it won me over. Absolutely won me over. And I've been doing this for over a decade now. Absolutely won me over. This is a fun sport. You're going to hear me say this over and over and over again, particularly when these ladies start playing home games in Norman. If you've never been, you need to go. Oklahoma softball absolutely has to be a must experience if you are a fan of Oklahoma Sooner athletics. So understand that the answer here is coming from not just a journalistic side, but it's also coming from a fan side. And the answer from both perspectives is absolutely yes. The fan in me wants to remind you that Patty Gasso is hands down the best softball coach in America. The fan side of me wants to remind you that they are the 10-time or the 9-time, going for 10-time defending Big 12 champions. The fan in me wants to remind you that this team returns a ton of starters, All-Americans. They return the National Player of the Year in Jocelyn Allo. So the fan in me wants to remind you of all that stuff. The journalist in me wants to say ditto to every single thing the fan in me just said. But there is a caveat here, and it's got to be pitching. When you look at the loss of Giselle Juarez, particularly on the circle, replacing her, is going to determine how deep this team goes. I think offensively, this team is going to be better than they were a year ago. 100% believe offensively better than they were a year ago. I think defensively, you got the best shortstop in the country. You got one of the best catchers in the country, hands down the best catcher in the Big 12. But what's happening in the circle? You look at Jada Coleman in center field. You got the best outfielder in the country. Defensively, they're going to be strong. So offensively, better than a year ago when Jocelyn Allo set records. Defensively, better than a year ago when they were very, very solid on the field. The only thing that's different with this team in 2022 than what we saw in 2021 is going to be what happens in the circle, where Nicole May now steps up into that role of being one of the, and she was key. Don't get me wrong, she was key last season. She was a key part of the regional, the super regional, and the Women's College World Series. But now she steps into an even larger role. And then what is Jordan Ball going to do? Now, you've heard nothing but good things about Jordan Ball through the winter, through the fall. But now when those lights come on for real, what's it going to be like for her? So those are the things that are going to answer this question. And I'm sticking with my answer true, with the understanding that these ladies in the circle are going to be every bit what they were advertised to be throughout the fall and the winter. But even if they're not up to par, I think this team is going to be so good offensively that they're just really going to, it's going to be fun. They're going to set records this year, okay? Just prepare yourself. This softball team is going to set records. You thought last year was an offensive explosion. Wait till 2022 strikes. It's going to be a lot of fun. So buckle up if you're an Oklahoma softball fan. If you're not an Oklahoma softball fan yet, you need to jump on board. All right, let's jump back over into football, over to the gridiron. We're going to close this out with two football questions. This is actually the last true or false question, though, and then we have another one that's just a discussion question. But here we go, true or false. This comes from Caleb. Having a pro-style quarterback will upset a lot of OU fans at the start of the season. No, I don't think that's true. I'm gonna go with a big fat false here because I think dealing the longer this saga moves on with Caleb Williams, the more this fan base is embracing Dylan Gabriel. You heard me on the last podcast episode basically say It's time. It's Dylan Gabriel's time. This is his team at this moment because he's on campus, because he's going through those workouts with Schmitty. And by the way, if you've ever played football, if you've ever been a part of the sport, you understand this. There is a value in going through that sweat, blood, and tears of those off-season workouts together. Caleb Williams isn't a part of that right now. But guess who is? Dylan Gabriel. And I think the more he's around and Caleb Williams isn't, it endears him not just to the teammates, but also to the fan base, to where when he takes the field next fall, it's going to be to a standing ovation. And it's because he wanted to be here. Where regardless of what happens with Caleb Williams, again, he could come back. But I think if he comes back, he's chasing Dylan Gabriel at this point. But where Caleb Williams chose to jump in the portal and survey his options, the very second Dylan Gabriel got a call from Jeff Lebby, he was here. Remember, he was, we said this again, if you listen to the podcast regularly, you're like, Matt, you've already said this, but I mean, the guy was about to start classes at UCLA. He's on campus, he's in Westwood. And Jeff Lebby calls, he's on a plane to Norman. So that's going to endear him. I don't think the fan base is going to care whether he's a dual threat, whether he's a running quarterback, or whether he's a pro-style quarterback. What they're going to care about is the fact that he's here, that he's on campus, that he is the guy to lead this team. And I think, honestly, the reality of the situation is, I think Dylan Gabriel, the way he plays, his style of play is going to remind a lot of people about Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he's going to be Baker Mayfield 2.0. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying the way he plays, the way he's going to lead this team, and the way he's actually going to do it on the field, I think he's going to remind you of a left-handed Baker Mayfield. I really do. But whether the fan base cares whether he's pro-style or not, no, I don't think they do. I think that they care. What they care about is the fact that he's here and that he's the captain of this team now. Moving forward, this is Dylan Gabriel's team. Caleb Williams set himself back by jumping in the portal. Whether he comes back or not, again, I don't think he's coming back. But should he, he's behind Dylan Gabriel at this point. And that's of Caleb Williams' choosing. So here we're going to close this out. And this isn't a true or false statement, but I'd love to hear your comments on this. Through Twitter or through the website, however you do it. But Josh says this. As a longtime fan, did you get the feeling that Lincoln Riley might not be the guy to take us, to take the University of Oklahoma to SEC glory? And I got to be honest with you, I didn't. I didn't get that feeling. I think you go back and you look at the key losses, right? They're all explainable, right? You go back to the Rose Bowl loss against Georgia, and you think, man, you know, that's just a young coach out of his element. That was the first time he was on the big stage, first year head coach, and he got out coached by Kirby Smart. He really did. But you couldn't help but, as disappointed as we were as fans from that loss, you couldn't help walk away from that thinking, well, I mean, the future's bright, you know? And then you got the Kyler Murray loss. You got, you know, the Jalen Hurts loss. Those are two really good teams. And you go to the Peach Bowl with Jalen Hurts, that team, and you got all the guys that are out for the drug suspension. Kyler Murray running in the buzzsaw, that Alabama team. If I, as a fan, just had the feeling that they were close. This is the first year. The 2021 season was the first year you really began to have question marks about Lincoln Riley. When you saw the regression of Spencer Rattler, you saw the questionable play calling with Caleb Williams, and you just kind of wonder, what is happening? What is going on? Well, now we know. I mean, we have all those answers. But prior to that, prior to the 2021 season, to me as a fan, no, I did not have an inclination or a doubt that Lincoln Riley was going to be the coach of this team and that Oklahoma could ultimately go on to compete at a high level in the SEC. All that said, I think there's no thing to it. I'll say this as a statement. I'm glad he's gone. Knowing what we know now, I'm glad he's out the door. I'm glad he's USC's problem. Let him be USC's problem. I think this coaching staff, what Brent Venables has put together, I think Oklahoma has made an upgrade. This isn't just a fan in me talking. Oklahoma's made an upgrade with their coaching staff. You've got a seasoned coach, not a head coach, but a seasoned coach in Brent Venables, who's won championships at different schools on different levels. You've got one of the most innovative offensive minds in the game running the offense. Brent Venables is going to be heavily involved with Ted Roof on the defense. You held over guys like Kel Gundy, guys like DeMarco Murray, guys like Joe John Finley, who are real the go-getters recruiting offensively. And you brought in some guys like Coach Jay and some of these other guys defensively that can go out and get guys as well. So yeah, I think Oklahoma's in a better spot coaching-wise than where they were with Lincoln Riley. But that said, I was kind of in the dark to this. I think I was just wrapped up in the machine of Oklahoma football, thinking that they'll continually get better, and 2021 was an anomaly. But again, now we know what the story was, and I think Oklahoma fans are going to be pleased with the end result to how this all turned out. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Sooner Nation podcast. Again, I'm Matt Hofeld. You can find us every day on the internet, Oklahoma City Thunder coverage, Oklahoma Sooners coverage. We throw a bone to Oklahoma State every now and then. You can just hit us up on Twitter at Sports Heartland. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going. Boomer Sooner.